Welcome to episode 60 of the Godly Young Men podcast. 60 has come around really, really fast.
Exciting.
It's very exciting. We're pretty pumped about the fact that you're still here with us. You're still watching. If you're watching, if you're listening, YouTube, podcast app, whatever you got. We are appreciative of you sticking through 60 episodes with us. We're pretty excited about that. We got
hopefully
a lot more
within 60 episodes you've learned something.
I was gonna say goal. Hopefully one or two things after 60. If not, we got a bunch more coming, so yep, maybe you'll learn something then. But with this one, we're talking about learning things. I think we want to get into and discuss how to deal with the elderly in our congregation, the elderly in our lives, you know, the older people, the older folks. What can we learn from them? How do we handle some of the frustrations, things like that? We just want to have an episode on this because we feel like as young men, it's easy to kind of forget this generation exists entirely if we're not careful. And we think that's a bad idea.
Well, I would say Godly Young Men podcast. This is going to be an emphasis for young men specifically because older people can generally be a pretty big source of frustration. For young people specifically, we can be very easily frustrated, very easily annoyed by the older generation. And to your point, a lot of young men just don't think about old people all that much. You know, everything is about, you know them, their interests, you know, what's going on in their life, and older people, especially when you talk about church. Don't talk. I mean, I saw this when I was, you know, working with young people in Decatur, and even when I was young, I didn't think about the older people all that much. You know, I was there to see my friends. I was there to do my own thing. And so, older people can be frustrating, annoying. This is one of those things that old people are usually viewed at. You laughed, actually, when I put this on. I'm going to read exactly what I put on there. Old people for young men are typically viewed as technologically illiterate, very old-fashioned, kind of mindless losers. Like, that's how a lot of young people view old people. I'm not saying that's correct. I'm just saying
right.
For a lot of young men, that's how they view older people. And so we're asking the question in this episode, how should a godly young man or godly young man view an older person? What should be our view of the elderly?
There is a generational gap, no doubt. Before we get into that, I think it's worthy of discussing. Like, this has always been the case. There's always been this gap of young to old. You look back at the sexual revolution.
Both kind of butting heads.
Yeah, exactly. So you go to the 60s, you go to the 70s, like, you don't think their parents and grandparents had a problem with how they were doing things as they're all taking LSD and you know, like, not good in the 60s and 70s. And that was the youth movement kind of driving it. Then you had the youth young rebel movement of the 80s, right? And all the music that came with it. The hip-hop really came into the 80s and the new wave and things like that. And so you can follow it through culture. You can follow it through music, through movies, things like that. There's always been a clash between older and younger. I do feel like this is becoming more pronounced because technology has gotten to the point where it's like there is a wide chasm between the average older folk, you know, older person and a younger kid where the things they're talking about, the apps that they use, the you know, as dumb as that sounds like, but the older people, they barely know how to use an iPhone and these kids are streaming TikTok 24 hours a day. It's just different.
Well, and let me just say, this is not going to be an episode where, listen, I think this is prominent in the homeschool community where it's like old people can do no wrong. Old people, you just got to respect them and they're just the greatest thing since sliced bread and man, you know, old people. I think old people can improve in a lot of different ways. I will be fully vulnerable. This is an area that I know that I currently struggle with. We talked about insecurities and weaknesses. This is a spiritual weakness of mine, is that I have very little patience for older people sometimes. And I'm working on that. We're going to cover why we need to respect them and how we can biblically, righteously deal with them. But it's a struggle for me. I get very frustrated a lot of times with older people, specifically within the church. But I did want to say off the top, we're going to talk about how younger people contribute to this problem and then how older people contribute to this problem. This is not going to be old people are perfect, young people just need to get it together and be better towards old people. That's not the point of this.
We have been given, which we will get to, there's biblical precedents here that we definitely don't want to like skirt past or skirt around or act like it's not there. We do want to honor them and respect them. We'll get into what that looks like. But there is an issue, and as you said, both are kind of contributing to it. Yeah. And so let's get into it. I think first we'll start with the younger and how younger people
contributes to
the problem of younger people with the older generation. First things first is public schools.
Let's dunk on them one more time.
Any chance we get, man, we're going to dunk on public schools. I think the way that the public schools look, you're around your buddies, you know, 30 different people all your age. You have no idea how to talk to older people because the one older person in the room is your teacher, and half the time you're throwing things at her or making fun of her. Like, it's not conducive toward you really understanding how to converse with other generations, because you are put into one. It's just so, well, don't you want your kids to be socialized? Like, yeah, because that's the way that the rest of life works, is I'm going to be surrounded
only
by
your age
of my closest
for 8 hours
peers,
a day, right?
For 8 hours a day for the rest of my life. Like, of course not. So I think that's the first big thing that creates a generational gap, is it's getting worse. It's been that way for a long time. But the parents now, it used to be the parents would really force you to talk to the older people. The parents don't care anymore either, because they weren't forced to talk. This goes back, which I would also say is the older folks not, it all goes back to them not really teaching us to do these things. But yeah, public schools, I would say,
contribute
the first
a lot.
One.
Because you think about the life of a public schooler, again, like you said, unless the teacher's an older person, because you know, you have a 35, 45, whatever year old teacher, that's not really all that old. You've got your coach for your team, probably not all that old, for your practices or whatever. And so you could go through your entire week without really dealing with an older person that's not, you know, driving on the road or, you know, something like that. And so, yeah, I think public schools contribute a lot too. The next thing I would say is young people and their addiction to their devices. That really inhibits this, or really I should say causes this generational gap, and why older people and younger people kind of butt heads is because young people are on their phones too much. Let's just call it like it is. I would call myself a young person, and I have a cell phone that I use a good deal, probably on it too much. But man, young people these days, especially in public school, 24/7. I would love to see the average screen time like the iPhone has. It's insane.
I can't imagine.
It's off the charts. When they're not in class, they're texting, they're on TikTok. When they're by themselves, that's what they're doing. When they're in their bedrooms, that's what they're doing. When they're out to eat, that's what they're doing. Young people are on their phones all the time, and it's that addiction to the device. It hurts all their relationships and being able to conversate, but especially with older people, because with your phone, it's always about what's going to interest you. How can you get that dopamine hit real quick with a TikTok video swipe or whatever? What can you watch on YouTube? How can you entertain yourself? Older people aren't always the most entertaining. And so what that does is, well, why would I talk to that older person? Why would I try to establish a relationship with an older person? That's boring. You know, who wants to do that? A lot of that stems from just being addicted to our devices.
And the older, like the only time that you see an older person a lot of times is on TikTok being entertaining. You know, occasionally you'll see an older person who has a sense of humor or whatever it may be. And it's like, oh, great. You know, see, I converse with people. The average person in your life, in your real life, is not going to act that way. And if that's the only time you get to see an old person is on some funny TikTok, because I've seen some of these, right? I'm not on TikTok, but I see some. They come over Twitter. And occasionally there are older people that understand technology that are hilarious. The average person is not. Your grandma, whatever it may be, the person at church is probably not. And so they may feel very dry. They may feel very like they got nothing to offer, because we are, as you said, dopamine-addled brains, where all we want is that next hit. And, oh, wow, they got to entertain me. No, they don't. They're human beings, and we want to make sure we treat them as such. Social media goes right along with this. I think it's the addiction to devices for this purpose. But social media, I would say, yeah, I'll let you handle this one on the social media. Where are you going with it? Because I guess I could take it in a couple different directions. As far as it contributes to the generational gap and such, what would you say for the young person side of social media?
Well, so I would say, first of all the social media the young people are on, older people are not.
That's true.
Older people are always on Facebook most of the time. Young people are not on Facebook. And so they're kind of like the public school thing. They're going into a realm, a world where they don't have to deal with, where there is no older person. Yep. How many older people you know of that are on Instagram? Maybe your grandmother or something. But like for the most part, they're not on Instagram. They're certainly not on TikTok. They're not really getting on YouTube. You know, I'm sure we're leaving out like some of the major social media platforms these days. They're not on BeReal. They're not
Snapchat,
on
Snapchat. Yeah.
You know, Snapchat is, I think, is kind of falling off. But they're certainly not on Snapchat. And so that would be one realm, is that like you're still dividing yourself out from older people when you go onto social media. But also social media, Twitter, Facebook, you know, in the ones that I'm on, they do kind of paint older people in a loser light.
That's
what
I was going to say. That's where I was like, I wonder if that's where he's going to get into
it. That is part of it, yeah.
It very much feels like that's the case. Anytime you do see it,
it's pitting older against younger.
Correct. Or it's the grandma who's posting the Trump with the American flag and Jesus, you know, and the lion, and it's all in the picture. Like, that's what you see of old people
or
on
Jesus
social media.
Or Jesus as Obi-Wan Kenobi. That's always the good one, yeah. Bet you won't share this picture of Jesus and it's Obi-Wan Kenobi or something.
Yeah, and they fall for it, you know. And so you see this, and that sounds horrible, but like, this is, when kids see that, I think it does create a little bit of that disconnect of like, we are so.
You loser.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. We are so far away from one another on this. So I think there's that. I think young people have an aversion to tradition. I think, to your point, social media and the devices and
stuff. As far as still what contributes to this, yeah.
But yes, what contributes to the generational divide and the fact that we struggle and go back and forth with them so much, we just want to change and
grow. We don't like old-fashioned stuff.
We don't like old-fashioned. We don't like tradition. And I think we are wrong in this in a lot of ways. Because we don't know why the tradition exists in the first place. I'm not one of those that because it's tradition, we keep it.
Correct, yeah.
I'm just not that way. It's kind of the, you know, cut the ham in half type of thing. And why do we cut the ham in half? Well, my great-great-grandmother did it. Well, why'd she do it? Because she didn't have a big enough oven. But until you ask the question, why are we cutting the ham in half? Why is this a tradition? You don't realize that the tradition started for something we don't even need. However, I also see young people come through and they give up their family name and they, you know, smash everything that has anything of value to their family and the tradition and everything else because, well, I'm just my because. Own person.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm my own person. Individualism. You're an idiot if that's the case. If you don't think that you got to be in 2024 and in a society where you get your iPhone and you get to be on TikTok and everything else, that's because the older folks did help us get here and the traditions that had been involved to really the tradition of patriarchy, the tradition of you know capitalism, the traditions and things like that that have passed down. If you think we got here and you're willing to give all those things up because, well, we know more now. No, you don't. You're an idiot.
Right.
If you're a socialist because you want to, you know, break tradition, good luck. Like the only way I know you're a socialist because you're posting on social media, which would have never happened from socialism. So that frustrates me in the fact that we have an aversion to tradition when we get rid of tradition without knowing why it exists.
To be clear, when we're talking about how these things contribute to the problem, all of these things younger people are at fault for.
Correct.
We're about to get into where older people are at fault, but younger people are at fault for these things. As Joe is saying, I appreciate him bringing up that point of like, not all tradition is a good thing. We probably should move away from it. Not all tradition is bad either. And just of you know, moving away from it for the sake of it is not good. The next thing I'll say again, this falls on younger people as far as who's to blame. Just general avoidance of engaging older people in conversation. How many times do you see a young person at church going up to older people and asking how they're doing talking to them? The reason why you know it doesn't happen a lot is when you do see it happen, you're like, whoa, that's weird.
Yeah, exactly.
That 14-year-old girl just went up and asked, you know. Why is that? It's because young people typically avoid older people like the plague. They don't want to talk to them. They don't want to deal with them. Again, they'd rather be on their phones, rather be with their buddies. I think this part does fall on younger people as far as blame goes. It's like, and maybe I should say it goes on their parents for not forcing them to, because nobody's, is naturally going to do it. But you need to develop that habit of, man, older people can be really interesting, be really fascinating to talk to. And that leads us to the last one on here as far as why young people are to blame. Get into that one if you want to, Joe.
Yeah, it's not valuing wisdom. Like, and even if they don't have a ton of wisdom, even if they're not fascinating, even if they're not this, you still have a duty to a certain degree of engaging the older generation to try to learn from them, but also just to, look, treat them as human beings. You'll pass six older folks walking out the church so you can go play basketball with your buddies. You don't know what those people have to offer. They may have the world to offer. They may have nothing to offer. That's not the point. The point is treat them as human beings and as somebody that is worthy of the respect due them. We don't value wisdom, so we don't see it even when it's staring us right in the face. I think we look at, I would rather find it on TikTok,
YouTube,
or Twitter, or whatever it may be. I'd rather just go find my own thing. I'll just Google it. Or nowadays with AI, I'll just ask AI. And so the wisdom of older people, imagine what it would feel like to be an 80-year-old. You have been through it. And
got
instead
a lot of experience,
you got a lot of experience, you know, of the Christian life or whatever else. And you'd have some young man who would rather ask ChatGPT then strike up a 5-minute conversation where you could give him exactly what he needs. Look, son, I've been through this. This is what's going to happen. Boom, boom, boom. Like, how depressing would that be that the world has basically forgotten you and has no need of you because they'd rather run to AI? I mean, that's pretty bleak.
I see this, too, with people that, like, go to Facebook groups for answers instead of, like, their parents or older people in their life of, like, hey, I've been really struggling with this with parenting. Let me go ask a Facebook group instead of, again, the people in your life, an older person at your congregation, maybe your grandmother. You know, whoever it is, that's kind of not valuing wisdom. We're going to go ask everybody else who's our age on social media what we think or what they think instead of asking and those who are actually wise. But let's switch gears, Joe. Let's talk about how older people contribute to the problem. Because again, this is not just a, man, young people are the worst and older people are the greatest thing since sliced bread. Not the case.
No.
I think older people contribute to this problem a great deal, and I think we need to bring it up in the episode. We're going to end with why godly young men must honor and respect older people. But before we do, Joe, how do older people contribute to this problem?
How do they not? I'm sorry. I do struggle, as Will said, I do struggle with this because we can be harder. And the reason we start with younger is we're just as hard on our generation.
Oh, yeah.
But if you think we're going to be hard on our generation without the other, you got another thing coming because both share the blame here. And the first thing on this, they only consider the negatives when it comes to young people. And what drives me nuts about this is those millennials, those stupid millennials, like they'll say that. How do you think we got here? Who do you think raised us? Yeah. Well, these guys don't know anything about a stick shift. They don't even know how to drive stick shift. They don't even know how to do XYZ. Like,
right.
Because you were just
no
born.
One taught us.
You were just born with that knowledge. Good for you. Wow, that's incredible. Like, you're born on third base and thought you hit a triple. That drives me nuts. That from the what? I shouldn't get so upset about it, but truly,
it's a lack of self-awareness too.
Yeah, that's like, exactly what it is.
Like, man, this next generation doesn't know how to write in cursive. Well, that's because your generation decided it wasn't worth it to teach us how to write in cursive.
Right.
Like, it's just so obvious to me. Like, if I want my son to learn something, I've got to teach it to him. In 30 years, I can't be like, man, my son doesn't know how to shoot a basketball. Well, did you ever show him how to shoot? No. Well, then of course he doesn't know how.
Exactly. Like, what do you think? He just comes out of the womb knowing
this?
It's
just common sense, yes.
But they only see the negatives regarding young people where, oh, they're on their phones too much. And like everything that comes out of their mouth a lot of times can be criticism. And I know this is a broad brush, but so often I do see this with older folks where everything's a criticism. They're on their phones too much. Oh, they don't even know how to do this. Wow, could you imagine? You know, they're so selfish. The millennial generation is just the generation of selfishness. These young kids are just lazy. Like, this is the hustle generation where we're working five jobs. If anything, you're the lazy ones because you had one job to work and you worked 40 hours. People are working 80 hours to try to make ends meet. Which I think gets into number two.
I see this before I go to number two. I see this in congregations too when, like, listen, you open it up for discussion. We both teach class before, and you ask about, like, you know, what are some problems or whatever in our society. And, man, how many times is the 75-year-old only focus on the way young people contribute to the problem?
Yeah.
Man, young people. And I don't think I've ever heard an older person, you know, say, yeah, my generation probably did something wrong here.
We blew it.
The way we do things now, it's always about, man, just young people these days. Listen, as a young person myself, that does grate on my nerves a little bit. Like, have a little self-awareness with that. Again, I think there's fault on both sides. The next thing that I would say, though, as far as how older people contribute to the problem is just a refusal to understand the times. This applies to a lot of different things. We've brought it up before with, like, pornography, for instance. Older people are not, you know, they're still thinking of Playboy magazine when they're thinking of pornography. And, man, that's just for perverts. This affects a lot of people, you know, in very different ways, and, you know, I have so much more access to it. Older people don't understand the times a lot. They're still stuck in the, you know, I don't want to be a jerk, but stuck in the 70s on a lot of things. They still think gospel meetings really work, and they still think that handing out tracts to people really works. Like, again, I'm not trying to be, you know, denigrate older people, but, like, I think that the strongest elders in the church, the guys who really understand how to lead congregations, are the ones that understand the times, that realize, yes, I've got a lot of traditional experiential knowledge, but that needs to blend with what are people, I got to meet people where they're at today. Again, the tent meetings of the 70s don't work anymore. Stuff like that, again, with young people, I think that just older people, they don't understand the times. And they not just they don't understand, they don't want to understand the times.
Well, and this goes to your third point. I'm going to blend it because I want to talk to both of those. The third is the aversion to change. They don't want to change, and this is exactly what you're talking
about.
Young
people have the aversion to tradition. Older people have the aversion to change.
Correct. They still think tracks work, and anytime you come in and go, I just don't think that really works these days. Well, you know, been around a long time. No, you don't understand the times. You don't understand where we're at. We see this in, well, those young people, you know, they'd rather just have their avocado toast. Like, we, and you know, they live at home. What a bunch of bums. We can't afford things because you won't move out of your starter homes that you literally got for $80,000. Where that same home, you're now making bank if you do move out because it costs $700,000. Right. I saw this in Colorado, how it continued to climb and climb and climb. And they have the gall to call us lazy and to say that, you know, well, we're eating our avocado toast. It's like, I can afford avocado toast. I can't afford a $3,500 house payment, nor could you. You lucked into the time you were born. It's like you expected us to be born in 1960. And you're treating us as though we were. When we are born into completely different times, you don't understand the times. It's the same thing we see in spirituality. They want to say the same things in so many other aspects, even in politics. They don't grasp how times have changed. They still want to get up at gospel meetings and hear about the mechanical instruments of worship and why instruments are wrong. Understand the times. We have kids that are literally chopping off body parts to transition, you know, in to be transgender, and all you want to talk about is baptism and
mechanical instruments. Yeah.
Are you kidding me? Understand the times and understand we are in a war here, and until you get hip with the fact that we are at war with a culture that hates us, we're not in positive Christianity where you invite your neighbors and they show up to the gospel meeting.
Not even
a
neutral Christianity anymore.
We are in a negative world. They hate Christians. They don't like us. They don't care about us. They want us dead. They want us gone. We're fighting against that, and you're still stuck in the 50s where you could invite somebody and half the block was converted because one man preached hellfire and brimstone. It doesn't work that way anymore.
Yeah.
When we preach hellfire and brimstone, you are so unloving. You're so unkind. You don't grasp what we're dealing with, and nor do you want to, and this is my frustration, is the aversion to change. If anything, you should be the wise sayers that are like, we see where this is going because we see the trends in culture. We saw how this happened with the sexual revolution. We see what's going to take place. And we really want to get ahead of this one. You've seen it. Why are we, as the young men, having, and we do this on Think Deeper, why are we the ones having to have the conversations about this stuff when you've been around around for right. long enough to be able to help
I'm not
us?
Even 30 years old. I'm not 25 years old yet. And I'm the one that is saying this stuff. Right. Where's all the older people? And this is, I'm going to add one. Getting fired up just thinking about it. But so I put on here the first one we talked about, they only consider the negatives regarding young people. Another one adjacent to that is they only consider the positives with themselves and never yes. take ownership.
Oh, my
never
goodness.
Take ownership of anything. How many times we just recorded we've recorded episodes before, I guess, on Think Deeper about raising faithful kids. How many times do you see people in the older generation that don't take any ownership for the fact that their kids are lost?
Right.
Don't take any ownership for the fact that they don't do anything spiritual for their grandkids. And again, they only focus on the positive for themselves. It's
do
like
the best we could.
Look at your life. You didn't raise your kids faithfully. Sure, you showed up to church, you drug them to youth group events, you didn't do your job, but yet they never acknowledged that.
Right.
There's never ownership. I want to challenge all godly young men who are listening to this and watching this, take ownership of the things in your life that you mess up. This right. is where older people, I feel like, do a really poor job. They call young people entitled, and a lot of young people are. A lot of older people are entitled as well, in the sense that, like, you got to take ownership. If 30 years down the road, your kids go off the rails, which, Lord willing, they do not, but if they do, I hope you don't have the, again, just the lack of self-awareness to say, man, I just did everything I could. I don't know what happened. It's like, what happened is that you were a poor parent. You were a terrible parent to your kid. And again, just not owning it. You got to own it. Have the ability to take a younger person aside and say, hey, this is where I really messed up. I see you going down this path. I did it with my kids. Please don't do it. There's too much pride. They don't want to do that. That's what's so bothersome.
And they would rather call us out. You guys are young. You know, it's easy to say that, of course, that, you know, you don't have kids in their 30s. You don't have kids because you guys haven't even hit 30 yet. And so how could you tell me about parenting? The point is, you should be the one to go, here's where we messed up, so we don't have that happen to
right.
us. And instead, you're so busy trying to defend yourself that you would rather have our kids fall away and go, ha, told you, it's harder than I thought, than for you to go, hold on a second. Maybe I messed up somewhere. Let me help you.
Let me help the next generation.
Let me help you along this generation, because the worst thing in the world is for these kids to walk away. Ours did, and it's devastating. Here's how I think we could change. You're waiting for us to fail so you can have the gotcha moment. That's despicable.
Go to the last one I've got on here, because it ties exactly into what you're saying.
They refuse to mentor.
Yep.
Part of mentoring is, here's where I messed up. It can't just be, I'm great here and here and here and here, and here's all the amazing things that I did, and you should do it just like me and here, here. No. Part of mentorship is, I blew this one. Yeah. I really messed up here. Please don't make this mistake. This one, and what gives it clout when you tell me the good things you did is when you can tell me the bad things you did.
Yep.
If all I ever hear is all the good things you did, then I really think you're unself-aware. I really think that it's like, why would I listen when every last thing you did was perfect, was God level? No. If you can't tell me, here's where we messed up, and they will kind of do it. Oh, yeah, no, we had some problems in the generation. Name them.
Be specific.
Be specific. In what ways did you mess up? Well, and they may even say the sexual revolution in 60s. Okay, that was back in the 60s. How have you messed up since? Yeah. Where did you go wrong? Like, the fact that they cannot take responsibility, and then, again, they refuse to mentor because you don't take responsibility in their own lives. So they try to take responsibility in ours, and I have a really tough time, as you can tell. We're fired up about
this. Taking them seriously.
And let me say this. Why do we get so fired up about this and not about the kids? Who bears the greater responsibility? The person who's been around 20 years, the person who's been around 60, 70, 80
right.
years.
Right.
The responsibility falls on the old people. Well, young people have problems too. Duh. I'm sorry.
Help us fix them.
I'm so sorry. That I shouldn't have said duh, but come on.
Yeah.
Come on. Every other area of life, it's like, well, you got the CEO who's been doing this for 40 years, and you got the guy that just started. Well, he doesn't have it together either. He's not supposed to.
Right.
He literally just started this job. The guy who's been the CEO for the last 40 years ought to know something and can pass it down.
The refusal to mentor is such a problem, because you consider Titus 2. We brought it up before. Older men teaching younger men. Older women teaching younger women. That can't, or I shouldn't say it can't. It shouldn't start with the younger person going to the older person saying, hey, please mentor me. Can you?
Right.
That should not be the way that it is. But unfortunately, we have so many older people that are content to just sit in their same pew and maybe get upset when somebody else sits in their pew. Same pew every Sunday, you know, shake some hands on their way out, and then, you know, that's all they ever do. Don't engage, and that's something, the last thing I've got on here. I said that younger people, the way they contribute to the problem is that they just kind of generally avoid older people. Older people do the exact same thing. Vice versa. They generally avoid younger people, and they say, well, young people don't want to talk to me. It doesn't matter. Go up and talk to them. Go up and show an interest in their life. And I know I'm talking about young people in the sense of like teenagers, but man, if you're a 70-year-old, take a 35-year-old out for coffee. Take a 40-year-old out for coffee.
They need it too.
That's the type of mentorship we're talking about, and that falls to the older people to initiate that. And as Joe's saying, that's where the burden and weight of responsibility falls. And if you're just throwing that aside, saying, ah, you know, not for me, you're rejecting something God has instructed you to do as an older person. I know we're talking to young men here going off on older people, but the point is both sides contribute to this problem, and the lie that is being sold that it is all young people's fault is ridiculous.
I'm going to say this, because it's like, well, they got really fired up. Clearly, something's bothering... I've been more discouraged by older people than I have ever been by younger people in our line of work.
That's pretty fair. Yeah.
We've had more older people scold us and you guys are so negative and you guys got this wrong and how could you say that? Especially about the Think Deeper podcast. We have so many older people that look to discourage. And it's like, you know, the reason we have to say it?
Because of you guys.
You won't.
Yeah.
You won't. The reason we come out so strong on patriarchy, the reason we come out so strong
feminism.
On destroying feminism. You let it happen on your watch, and not only did you let it happen, you participated in it.
And you refused to own it.
You refused to own it, and now when we come and try to correct the problem, you get mad at the tone we take, and you get mad at how we're trying to correct the problem. You caused the problem, we're having to course correct, and you're ticked that we're having to course correct because you won't own it.
Right, yeah.
That drives me nuts. So if we get a little animated, I apologize, but yes, I've had my feelings hurt, and it's not really about my feelings, but legitimately, it's hurt to have a lot of old people question us, doubt us, try to tell us how our tone is bad, you know, be the tone police, shout us down, email, like start email threads and put out on Facebook how we're heretics and everything else. This is from the older generation because they refuse to engage in a way that actually will help the church.
Yep.
I'm done with it. This is why we speak to the godly young men, is I don't want you guys to get to that point where you're not able to admit your faults. You're not mentoring younger people because, well, they wouldn't listen anyway. You have to insert yourself into somebody's life and say, I do have wisdom in this area. Maybe even if they don't take it, be willing to say, you know what? I remember what it was like to be young. I remember I probably wouldn't have taken it well either, but I'm going to continue to try to give that and push past a little bit of, well, they didn't want it because one time they got ticked that you tried to insert. You got to work a little harder than us because you're the older folks. You have more time to do it because kids are out of the house. You're retired. You have more time to mentor. You have way more wisdom than us. We are begging you to step up and to help us. That's where this comes from, is it's a plea to step up. I'm not saying just get them out of the way. I'm saying if they could step up, think about what the church would be if the average old person said, I do have wisdom in this area. I did mess up in this area. We're going to take the church and be something completely amazing. Instead, they would rather see the church decline by literally 70% year after year after year after year because they cannot get out of, if you can't help, get out of the way. Yeah. That's my point. If you cannot help, get out of the way. They refuse to do that. So we, as godly men, we have to make sure we don't grow up to be that. Secondly, most importantly here, this is going to get us into it. This is stepping on my toes. We must honor and respect older people.
So real quick, so that's where we're going to end. Is why godly young men must honor and respect older people. The reason we just spent 25 minutes sharing both sides, the way both sides contribute to the problem, is because, first of all, we wanted to fully flesh out the problem and why we believe all of these things happen, why young people and older people don't get along, what you as godly young men can do right now at your age to stem the tide, to be different, but also to, again, establish context of the things that older people can improve on, and also, to Joe's point, when you're there in 50 years, when you're 65 and you fall into this older person category, here's what not to do, essentially. Like that's why we spent all this time there, is because it does frustrate us. It's a passionate subject of ours, obviously, but we want you at 22 years old right now, at 18 years old right now, when you hit 65, don't do what the 65-year-olds in your life so often do right now. So let's get into, last but not least, why godly young men must honor and respect
older people. Because we're not trying to your point, we're really not trying to discourage you from sound like it because we're so heated about this, like, well, just avoid them altogether. No, we're really not trying to discourage you from the relationship. Yes, we do get frustrated. We have been hurt. We have been let down. We have been a lot of things. And I'm sure vice versa. I'm sure I've let them down in some ways as well. And I'm sure that they look at us as change agents who are coming in. I understand their fears. You know, they've been there. There is a greatness that I think they are afraid of losing, and unfortunately, we're already losing it, and that's part of they're not seeing the times that we're losing it. We still have to honor and respect them, even if we don't agree with them, even if we don't like everything that they do. We have been called to this, and Will actually brought out a couple verses.
Well, the first I was just why must we respect them? The first reason is because God expects us to.
Yeah,
and that should be enough. Like I've got a few more on here, but the first thing is that God expects us to respect and honor them, and that is something that. Listen, if God's got an expectation of you, you better follow it. And again, personal struggle of mine that I'm continuing to try to work towards. Of, you know, I get so irritated at older people driving in traffic, and that's a stupid example, but it's like I need to respect and honor them and not just get so frustrated when they drive stupidly.
I like how he says this because appealing to God here. Listen to Leviticus 19:32. You shall rise up before the gray-headed and honor the aged, and you shall revere your God. I am the Lord. This is a hierarchy thing. This is he appeals to himself. I think that's so interesting. You shall rise up before the gray-headed and honor the aged. You shall revere your God. I am the Lord. It's like, why is he putting those two things together? Because it's about, again,
they go together.
Hierarchy. If you can't revere the older person, then you're not going to respect exactly God either. God is the top of the food chain, so to speak, the top of the hierarchy. But the older and the wiser among us, you know, the elderly, they should be above us in that way. We do need to honor and respect him for that purpose. You also have on here, 1 Timothy 5, verse 1, do not sharply rebuke an older man, but rather appeal to him as a father, to the younger men as brothers.
Yep.
And I'll just continue. To the older women as mothers, and the younger women as sisters in all purity. This is where even me showing my hand here and being super frustrated, I have to do a better job than that. I need to rein in the emotions a little bit because I do want to treat them as fathers. I want to treat them as I do know that they have a lot of information. They have a lot of wisdom. They kind of have convinced themselves, I don't have much to share. You do. If you're an older person, listen to this, you do. And if you're a younger person, they do have things to say. They do have a lot to share with us. We have to appeal to them as a father. Not as the stupid old man that doesn't understand it. That's wrong. Right. We want to make sure we're treating them, giving them a respect they're due, as Leviticus 19 talks about, but also treating them in a way that gives them dignity and respect.
So why should we honor and respect older people? First of all, because God expects us to, and those verses are key with that. More we could have gone to, but for sake of time. Number two, though, why we must honor and respect older people is because common sense just tells us it's the right thing to do. Yep. And that might seem like kind of a lame thing to say, but like, you as a young person are stronger, more physically fit, more energetic, more active. It's just the right thing to do. Just like it's naturally inborn that you as a man should not hit a woman. Like, why? Because common sense tells you that's the wrong thing to do.
Right.
It's the same thing with older people. Hold the door open for them. You know, if you are waiting at a restaurant and, you know, there's a few benches that people can sit on and you're sitting there and some older people walk in and there's no room left and they're just standing, and give up your seat for the older person. Right. Just little stuff like that that shows it is the right thing to do. Just like if you're giving up for a pregnant woman or, you know, just as a godly young man, these are just generic things that you need to do. Common sense tells you that respecting and honoring older people is the right thing to do.
That's right. And when they talk, listen, they do have experience. They have wisdom. That is invaluable.
That doesn't. And that's the third thing I have on here.
And that's the third thing, yeah, exactly, is, you know, common sense would say it's the right thing to do to physically really help whenever possible, but it also dictate, to this point, listen to the wisdom and experience they have to share. That does not mean everything that comes out of their mouth is the most wise thing. I've heard old people
say
some stuff that's like, that's just flat wrong. The way that they approach scripture, a lot of the time, just be very careful. I'm not trying to dishonor them in this way. They can approach scripture through proof texting, and they can also approach it through let's get along. I've seen this where maybe they don't have the same vigor as a young man to stand up to sin or to stand up to other things. Well, isn't it just better if they show up to church? We shouldn't really call out the sin. Or, hey, well, we really need to, let's remember that unity is important. We understand that, but when we're talking about marriage, divorce, remarriage, when we're talking about these weighty matters as to who gets, sometimes they can come in with these, and I'm giving real life examples of things that actually have happened with me. It can sound very like, oh, that's very wise. And in reality, there's not a lot of substance to it. We have to be able to process through it and to say, okay, that doesn't mean I hate them. It doesn't mean that they have nothing to offer. It just means in that moment, maybe they don't understand the gravity, or maybe nobody taught them that it's okay to stand up to these things and lose a few people here or there, to stand up for what's right. So again, I'm not saying to dishonor them in that way, but when they do speak, we owe it to them to listen. Because
a lot of them do have wisdom and experience.
That's exactly it. And we want them listening to us, do we not? Because we're maybe frustrated that they won't change along with us. But if we don't do them, it's the golden rule. You have this on here. Matthew 7, verse 12. In everything, therefore, treat people the same way you want them to treat you. For this is the law and the prophets. Hey, you want them to listen to you. You want them to give you the time of day. you better do it to them. Well, and again, they have earned it through their old age.
Why should we honor and respect them? Fourthly and finally, because you're going to be there one day. Mm. You know, I am as guilty as anybody of thinking that I'm going to be, you know, 24 forever in this good a shape as ever and invincible forever. I'm going to be right there along with the older people in 30, 40 years. And that's tough for young people to grasp. We don't like thinking about it. I think that might also be why we tend to not want to be around older people, because it reminds us that we're going to be there one day. But you are going to be there one day, if Lord willing, you live to that age. Yep. And so, yeah, that's why we need to honor and respect them. And there's a whole lot more we could get into here, but hopefully we've communicated the point. The point is there is a gap. There is a problem. We butt heads. Here's how younger people contribute to it. Here's how older people contribute to it. But here's why right now you need to honor and respect them. And again, this will hopefully serve you better in all areas of your life. When it comes to maybe talking to your grandparents, maybe when you're at Thanksgiving dinner, put the phone down and talk to your grandparents over a cup of coffee or over a plate of dessert. Ask them questions. Be curious about it, or be curious about things that they're talking about. Again, put the phone away. Don't just worry about, you know, whatever it is that you want to do. It could serve you in the area of your church family. Again, don't just go straight to your youth group area and sit with your friends. Maybe stop along the way and strike up a conversation with an older person. Yes, it should be on them to start that first, but you do what you can. Again, all areas of your life. There might be somebody at your work one day who's 30 years older than you. You always talk about how one of your best friends at Bear Valley was however many years older than you, like 20 or 30 years older than you. 40. It can serve you in so many different areas of your life, these principles of honor and respecting older people. To Joe's point, doesn't mean they always have the right answer or that they are infallible or that they are perfect. We got to honor, we got to respect them, because there are a lot of benefits from that. So, anything you would add?
There is, but I don't really want to. It's such a perfect way to wrap. But no, all I was going to say is you respect the position. I don't always respect Joe Biden. I respect the presidency. I respect him because that dictates that, you know what, you may not always respect your dad or whatever. You respect the position of authority. They do hold the position of authority. That sometimes helps my mind get around it. And I love what you said about that. That's the only thing I'd add, is just for some illustrations. Ask him something about what it was like for them to grow up. You have some seriously cool stories in there. Get some of the stories out of there. You know, you want them to know, like, you are interested. Be curious with them. Tell them, hey, I was studying the Bible and I ran across this week. What are your thoughts on that? Have you ever seen this? They may, well, I've never seen that in my life. That's okay. That's okay. Or they may have the most thoughtful answer that's like, whoa, that blows open my Bible study. Engage with them. Have questions for them. Be curious with them and about them and really cause them to see you do care about them, and you don't hate their guts. And as much as I may get hot fired, I genuinely do love especially the older folks in our congregation. You know, the older folks in my life, they do hold a special place, as they should. I can get frustrated. I can get frustrated at the general concept, and I'm not trying to discourage any of you from actually going and engaging with them, because on one-on-one, there's so much to learn. There's so much to be grateful for. Value them. Cherish them. Come to them with love and, again, curiosity and everything else. But I said I was going to let it wrap the way you wrapped it.
I've done that plenty of times where I'm like, man, Joe wrapped us up so well, and I talked for another 2 minutes. So,
well, no, now it's my turn, I suppose, but I'll let you wrap us up.
I've really enjoyed this discussion. Again, these are things that, you know, why are we talking about older people for Golly, I'm in podcast? Because it's part of your life that you need to examine and maybe do better at, potentially, myself and Joe included. And so appreciate you listening, appreciate you watching. As always, questions, comments, feedback, we welcome it on YouTube or Facebook, however you get a hold of us. And so, we will wrap right there. This has been episode 60 of the Godly Young Men podcast. As always, we will be back next week for another episode. We thank you so much for watching and listening. We'll be back next week.